Hello, good morning, and welcome back to Impacting Your World. I'm Apostle Debbie Viggs. Let's get started with our Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14 this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you to thank you and to give you praise. We thank you for this day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for allowing us to see a new month. We thank you, Lord God, for the many blessings that you've blessed us with. Your mercies are new every morning. Thank you, Lord God, that daily you load us with benefits, and we receive those benefits, and we give you praise. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood, the blood that speaks of better things than the blood of Abel. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us and leading us and guiding us into all truth. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come alongside us as we pray these Colossians prayers over ourselves. From the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray and to make a special request, asking that we may be filled with a full, deep, and clear knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom, in comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. I pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Lord God, with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. I pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power, according to the might of your glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance, and forbearance with joy. I give thanks to you, Father, because you have qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light. And I thank you, Father, that you have delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and you've transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, praise God. Want to talk to you about how to position yourself for a miracle or breakthrough. We see that from the word of God, that God's purpose, you know, he used miracles, first of all, throughout the word to show us or to fulfill his word, to fulfill and confirm his word, and also to provide for the needs of his people. And so God uses miracles as well to prove himself. And so we know that through these miracles, you know, we saw the miracles that took place in the book of Exodus. Through these miracles, God, you know, not only proved him that he was the only true and living God, but through miracles and through divine supernatural interventions, he raised up a people and manifested himself to the world. You know, people are usually drawn to miracles. Amen. And so, you know, to give you an example, let's use Moses. You know, when God called Moses, he gave him a special job to fulfill, and Moses was chosen by God to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. The children of Israel were in Egyptian bondage at the time. Now, the job of leading millions and millions of Jewish people out of Egypt wasn't an easy task. It seemed like it was an impossible task in the natural, in the eyes of Moses. But God had a plan. He was not only going to use miracles to lead them out, but he was going to use miracles to reveal himself to them for the first time that he was Jehovah. You know, they knew him by the name of God Almighty, but now they were going to know him as Jehovah, their deliverer, Jehovah, their provider, Jehovah, their healer. He was going to reveal himself as all that. So he revealed to Moses, you know, God revealed to Moses how he was going to use these miracles to fulfill his will and his word. And then, you know, he reminded Moses that he had a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that he had promised to give, you know, their descendants the land of Canaan. So this was the promised land, and it was something that, you know, God is covenant-minded, and so he was, you know, remembering the covenant that he had made with the forefathers. And he heard at this point the groanings of the children of Israel, you know, the people who were in slavery, and now, you know, God said he had heard their cry, and he had come to deliver them out of that bondage. So we see that God used miracles throughout, okay? He proved himself. He was the one who led the children of Israel in a pillar of cloud by day and in a pillar of fire by night. He's the one who answered by fire. He's the one who rolled back the Red Sea. He's the one who stopped the mouths of lions and quenched the violence of fire that caused the heathen to say that there's no God like the God of Israel. So we see that God, you know, used miracles to reveal himself also in the New Testament. When Jesus was here on earth, he went everywhere preaching and teaching. And one of the other things was he was performing miracles in the lives of people. And the Bible makes it very clear why great multitudes of people followed Jesus. Well, they followed him because, you know, blind eyes were opened, deaf ears were unstopped. They saw the lame walk. I mean, the dead raised, all those miracles, you know, people being healed of, you know, various sicknesses and diseases, people being delivered and set free from demonic, you know, interference in their lives. And so through these miracles, Jesus revealed himself as the Son of God and the promised Savior. There was a time when John was put in prison. John the Baptist was put in prison, and he sent two of his disciples to ask Jesus if he was the promised Messiah. And the answer that Jesus sent back with John's disciples was that, go tell John that the blind receive their sight, the lame are walking, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. So what did Jesus do? He pointed to the miracles as proof of who he was. Amen. And so on another occasion, you know, when the Jews were ready to stone him, he again referred to the miracles of the works that he had done in John chapter 10, verse 37 through 38. He says, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Amen. And so we see here again that, you know, Jesus pointed to the miracles. So, you know, God doesn't just use miracles to prove himself and, you know, and to manifest himself in the lives of the people, but he also uses miracles to provide for the needs of the people. So we're going to look at two examples, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament, that illustrate God meeting the need, you know, meeting people at their point of need by performing a miracle on their behalf. Now, throughout the Bible, we'll find several different, you know, accounts where God provided miracles and met the needs of the people. But because of time, we're just going to look at these two. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4, verse 1 through 7, there's an account where there was this widow woman. She was the wife of the prophets. Her husband had died, and so she ran, you know, cried to Elisha, you know, that, you know, her husband was dead and that he was a servant of the prophets, and he feared the Lord. But she had a situation. You know, her husband died, leaving her with a large debt. She had no one to turn to, no means of satisfying the creditor, because this creditor came to take her sons to be his slaves, which means this was a huge debt for the creditor to want to take the sons and, you know, use them to pay off the debt. Well, you know, the man she owed money to, you know, he's threatening her, you know, he'll take the children or the sons and go and settle this debt. Now, the only thing, you know, the man of God then asks her, what do you have in your house? Now, first of all, you know, she's talking about how she has this huge debt. She has nothing. You know, she has no one to turn to. She doesn't, you know, she can't go to the bank or whoever, can't go anywhere. She doesn't know what to do. And then he asks and says, what do you have in your house? You know, and then she says, well, the only thing I possess of value is a small bottle of oil. Well, this doesn't make sense. You know, if that were you and I in the natural, you know, that's happening to us, we would be questioning, what do you mean, Lord? I'm talking to you about, I have this situation and you're asking what I have of value in the house. If I had something of value in the house, wouldn't I have given it to the creditor to take that instead of my children? But no, she doesn't do that, because remember, she's gone to the prophet. Back in the day, they didn't have Bibles like you and I, and the prophet is the one who was, you know, the middleman between them and God, and he would hear from God. And so he asks, you know, what do you have of value in the house? And she says, I only have a small bottle of oil. In fact, she used the jar. I only have a small jar of oil. She didn't know what to do, how to get out of this situation, but the prophet of God knew. And so the prophet didn't look to himself or to man for the answer. He didn't ask if it was God's will to meet this woman's need. You know, he didn't say, well, let me see if the Lord wants to do this for, you know. He knew God and he trusted him for a miracle, because he knew that God would fulfill his word, you know, through the miracle. Not only that, he was, you know, it was his will to meet the needs of his people through miracles. And so he gives the instructions. His instructions were simple enough. He told her to go and borrow as many pots as she could find. Then she was to shut herself up in the house with her two sons and begin to pour the oil out of the small bottle into all the empty, you know, pots that she was going to get from her neighbors and borrow. Now, again, if you're going to go by how it seems in the natural, you'll miss your breakthrough. You'll miss your miracle. This woman never questioned once what the prophet was telling her to do. She went ahead and she borrowed. I mean, it didn't make sense. I don't have enough. I have a small jar, but you're saying me, telling me to go and borrow as many pots as I can from my neighbors. For what? She didn't question. Many of us would stand there and say, okay, it doesn't make sense why I need to go and borrow these pots, and yet I don't even have anything to put in there. But no, she knew the man of God would not, you know, tell her something that wasn't going to produce an answer. Remember, the prophet was the one who spoke to God on their behalf. And so he knew, you know, God, he knew God would do this miracle for this woman. And so the woman also knew and trusted the prophet. Well, you and I have the Bible. When God speaks to us, do we trust what God is telling us to do, or do we start questioning? Well, that doesn't make sense, Lord. I'm telling you that this is what I need, but you're telling me to do this and do that. That doesn't make sense. What has that got to do with my need? Well, we'll see very shortly with this woman. So she goes and follows the instructions. She borrows, you know, from her neighbors, all the pots that she could, and her and her two sons go back into the house. They shut themselves off and begin to pour the oil out of the small bottle into all the empty pots that they had borrowed. Now, you know, she was obedient to, first of all, we have to see, she didn't question the man of God. She didn't question the method that he was going to use, you know, to bring her, to bring about the breakthrough. She was obedient to what he said. She recognized Elisha as God's spokesman, and she acted on his word. Now, this action required a simplicity of faith in God and in the prophet of God. And so a lot of people have difficulty in reaching this point because they're too busy trying to reason things out for themselves. And as a result, you know, going back to this story, we see as a result of this woman's simple act of obedience and having had faith in the word spoken by the prophet, she received a miracle. God supernaturally multiplied the oil until all the containers and pots that she had borrowed were filled. She sold enough that day to pay the debt she owed, and she had the rest to live on. Of course, she went back to the prophet and said, well, I've done what you said. She didn't question to say, oh my God, you know, the little jar just continued and continued. She knew God was doing a miracle for her. So she goes back to the man of God and said, okay, well, we filled all the pots that we could borrow. And then he says, well, go to the market, sell them and pay off your debt and live on the rest of it. Now, so one minute, this woman wakes up in so much debt. By the evening, she's out of debt, all because she was obedient to whatever was told to her to do. Now, when I analyze this account, it seems to me this woman had never been out there to sell. She had the little jar of oil, but she was not really a businesswoman. Had she been a businesswoman, she would have known that she needed to go and sell that oil. But she had to go back to the prophet and say, okay, what's the next step? Then he says, go to the market, sell. Now, why would it be that somebody who's just starting her business that day, you know, manages to sell all her oil and she's able to pay off this huge debt, and she's able to live on the rest of, you know, whatever is remaining after paying off this huge debt? She doesn't have to go back to the market to sell again because the prophet didn't tell her to do that. So she returns the pots to her neighbors after she's done, and she's paid her debt, and she's living in peace. Why? Because she obeyed. You see, when God gives you a breakthrough, it's not just enough to meet the need. He will overflow. He will give you a breakthrough that will take you over, you know, it'll keep you all the way till the end, you know, till, you know, you need another miracle. But it's not like he just meets your need, like, oh, he'll just pay your bill today and that's it. And then tomorrow you have to get back on your knees to believe for another miracle. That's not the type of God we serve. The God that we serve, when he gives you what we call a breakthrough, when he gives you that miracle, it's truly a breakthrough. Not only will it meet all your needs at once, but you'll have enough left over to also be a blessing unto others. And this is exactly what happened here. But we see the participation from this widow woman. You see, she had to participate. She had to do something. You know, she had to obey the word. She had to trust in the Lord. She couldn't just, you know, she couldn't just say, well, pray for me, man of God. You know, this is what's happening. Just pray for me and then sit back and wait for something to happen. No. He gave her instruction, go back home, do this, do this, do this. Now, has she not done that? Has she questioned or has she chosen not to do what the prophet of God told her? She would never have seen this miracle and she would be going through trying to figure out how to pay this bill. You see, sometimes the instruction that God will give us may not make sense. You know, it may not make sense in the natural. You know, he'll tell you to do something or through, you know, a man or woman of God tell you do this, do that. When you start looking at it from the position of, oh, this person, she's trying to make me do this or she's trying to, you know, get money from me or whatever, then you miss it. The minute you start questioning what the man or woman of God is saying to you through what the, you know, it, so for instance, if you come to me and the Lord tells me, tell them to sow a seed and I tell you to sow a seed. If you look at me thinking, oh, apostle wants money from me, then you're missing it and you won't see your breakthrough because that's not what I'm doing. You know, I'm telling you, you've come with a problem. I'm telling you what God is saying. I hear from God. If, and even on your own, if God speaks to you and says, okay, sow a seed, the first thing most people say is, well, that's the devil. I need money, but the, you know, now I have to sow a seed. How is that possible? Well, that's exactly what you have to do. This woman had to take something precious from her house. He said, what do you have of sale value? He said, what do you have? What do you possess of value in your house? He didn't say, what do you possess? Because sometimes we want to take the rubbish to give to God. He said, what do you possess of value? So she had to sacrifice something that was valuable to her in order to provoke a miracle from heaven. Many times we don't see that. We think, well, if I need a breakthrough, let me just sow $5 and I'll get the $10,000 that I need. No, it has to be something of value to you. So in this case, it has to be a sacrifice. This woman gave a sacrificial, you know, she used something, she sacrificed something that was valuable to her. And that's how she was able to, you know, that's how she was able to get this, to provoke a miracle and to provoke this breakthrough in her life. So one other thing is, you know, she didn't let, you know, her neighbors, you know, when the man of God told her, just borrow the vessels, go and hide yourself, you and your son, and then start pouring. I'm sure her neighbors were asking, what do you need all these pots for? You don't have anything. Why would you need to borrow pots? You know, she didn't waste time trying to explain to them and justify what she's doing. Yeah, so, you know, I have this situation. This guy came and this. No, she didn't waste time. She quickly went and did what the man of God told her. And she produced, you know, that produced a miracle and a breakthrough for her. Another example real quickly that we're going to look at is found in the New Testament. And this is a story that most of us know about, the account of the woman with the issue of blood. I like to use the Mark chapter 5 version of it because it's slightly shorter. But here we see, you know, God is meeting. This is a miracle, first of all, because, you know, this woman had a need. Okay, it was easy to identify her need. Because many people meet at one point or another suffer some different type of sickness or disease, and they need a miracle in their lives. Well, this woman had suffered from this issue of blood for 12 long years. The Bible tells us that she had tried everything, and she spent all that she had on physicians. Her money was gone, and so instead of her condition improving, it only grew worse. She says she endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians and spent all that she had and was no better, but instead grew worse. That's verse 26, Mark 5, 26. Verse 27 said, she heard the reports concerning Jesus. So she had heard the reports. There, you know, people were talking. There's this guy, he's come, he heals people, he delivers people, and he does all this. And, you know, so she heard these reports. And what did she do based on the reports that she heard? She didn't just step out of her house immediately. No, verse 28 gives us the clue. For she kept saying, if I could only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. So she was meditating on what she heard. And then she was confessing it, speaking it out of her mouth. So before Jesus came by to her place, she was meditating on the reports that she heard about Jesus, you know, healing. And she had to see herself being healed. And she started to speak it out of her mouth and speak it out of her mouth, confess it out of her mouth. If only I touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. You see, she wasn't even sitting there thinking, wow, I wish he could lay hands on me. I wish I could know. She was going after the miracle herself. Amen. So she hears this information and she's desperate. She's desperate. This is her last hope. And she believed and she acted on the word that she heard. Because when Jesus came her way, you know, she gave up pride. She gave up, you know, what others would think. Remember, Jesus was walking with Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, the man who could have had her stoned and killed had he known and had the people known that she was out in public. Back in those days, when you had an issue of blood, you were considered unclean. So had she gone in this crowd, she would have, you know, contaminated the people per se. And so she would have been stoned to death, you know, because back then they had to go through several different rituals to actually become clean. And so nobody wanted, you know, nobody had time for trying to go do that. So this woman, though, she steps out. She's desperate. This is her last hope. She's believing the word of God. She's believing in the reports she has heard and her confession. Only I can touch his garments. I shall be restored to health. So she didn't allow anything or anyone to stand in her way. Amen. She was willing to face the criticism and rejection of the crowd. So she pushes her way through to Jesus. There was no one there to tell her that she was unworthy to receive a miracle. There was no one there to tell her that following after miracles was carnal. She came to Jesus expecting to receive. She came with expectancy. You see, and that's the key. You can't just say, well, let me pray or let me meditate and then you sit back. Oh, let me confess, and you sit back. You have to have expectancy to receive. You know, there was no doubt about if it was God's will. She knew that it was God's will because Jesus said, I came to destroy the works of the devil. So she knew that it was God's will for her to receive her healing. And she knew that even if she could just touch his clothing, she would be healed. She had heard the reports of the people. And so in response to her need and her simple faith, in the word of God really in Jesus, who was the word of God, she received her miracle from God. You know, she didn't go to anybody. She didn't ask anybody for prayer. She didn't do that. She just meditated. Now, there's nothing wrong with you asking for prayer, especially prayer of agreement. However, we see here that she, you know, this woman, she meditated. She heard the reports herself and she began to meditate. She needed a breakthrough. She was desperate. Now, there's so many different examples that we can use from the word of God. But what I want you to see here is three things in order to position yourself for a miracle. First of all, you have to be obedient. You go to God. When you need a miracle, you don't go to your friends. You don't go to your neighbor. You go to God first. Ask the Lord, you know, go present your situation like the widow woman, she presented her situation to the man of God. So you present your situation, your petition to God. Secondly, once you receive what, you know, once you hear what God is going to say, which normally will be in the form of an instruction, you know, go do this or do that, you should be ready, willing and ready to be obedient to the instruction, willing and ready to do exactly what you've been told to do. So that's number two. Don't question, oh, I don't think that's God. Oh, I think that's the devil. Now, I've always said this. First of all, you don't want to do whatever it is that God will tell you to do because the flesh will reject that. The devil doesn't want you to have a breakthrough or a miracle, so it can't be the devil. So there's only three possible options. There's only one possible option. It has to be God. Anything that requires a miracle or breakthrough will never be the devil. it will never be you necessarily, because you may not want to do whatever you're told to do. So if you're receiving instruction, it has to be God. So whether you go to God directly or you go to a man or woman of God that you're connected to, whatever they tell you to do, follow the instruction. Number one, we see that the woman had a need. She went to the man of God. She presented her petition to God. She gets instructions. Go do this. That didn't necessarily, you know, mean that her miracle was produced at that point. She had to go, first of all, go and do whatever she was told to do. Though it didn't make sense in the natural, she had to do it. Number four, when she's done, finished what she was doing, she goes back to God, goes back to the source, the person who told her, do this. Many times, you know, we receive something from the Lord, then we want to do it our own way, and then we mess it up and we say, oh, but I was told to do this. You didn't finish. You should have gone back. One of the things she did, after she poured the oil in all the pots, she went back to the man of God. So what do I do next? I've done what you said, so what do I need to do now? Then he gives another instruction. Now go to the market and sell. She didn't question, oh, I've never been to the market to sell. I don't know anybody who's going to buy from me. No, because by her obeying and going to the market, God already opened the door. Listen, oil was a very high commodity back in those days. And I'm sure there were other people in the market who were selling, you know, oil. But her oil that day, God gave her favor because she needed a breakthrough. So she couldn't question the man of God and say, well, where exactly am I going to sit in the market? I've never sold. Nobody knows me. I don't know anybody who can buy from me. No, she didn't analyze all that. She just followed and did what the man of God said. Go to the market and sell. She went there, positioned herself in the market, and, you know, the favor of God started drawing people to her. Favor, favor. Everybody came to her from the time she got to the market, you know. So I'm assuming, you know, she went in the morning, man of God, started pouring out the oil in the pots, then went back to the man of God. So probably we're looking at about maybe around noonish, noon, 1 o'clock. Then he says, go to the market and sell. So she pretty much only had like probably half a day to go sell that stuff. So in half a day, she was able to make enough money. I mean, people were drawn to her, magnetized to her, buying her oil, and she sold all of it, not some of it, but all of it, and was able by the end of the day to pay off her debt and to live on the rest of whatever she had remaining. She didn't have to go back to the market to sell. God took care of her completely. Why? Because she obeyed the instructions and she kept on focusing. She didn't allow her children to question, mother, why are we pouring oil? We don't even have enough oil. Why are we borrowing all these pots? She didn't allow them to, you know, to question anything. She just do what we, you know, we're told to do. Let's do this. Let's go into the house. And that's why she got her miracle. So we see that in that situation, she didn't question. She just obeyed God. In the situation with the woman with the issue of blood, she heard the report. So you hear. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And so she hears this. She hears these reports and she begins to meditate on the reports that she's heard. She's meditating on the word. So she begins by meditating and meditating. Through that meditation, she begins to see herself healed. And so she begins to speak out of her mouth what she's seeing mentally, you know, that if only I can touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She's seeing herself actually passing through these crowds and she's seeing herself touching, you know, his garment. And exactly as she's meditated and saw herself do that, exactly that is what happened. She managed to break through, pass through all these crowds, and managed to touch Jesus's garment, and immediately her flow of blood ceased. Why? Because not only did she, you know, she just didn't confess it. She started meditating on the word. So in her case, we see that her miracle and her breakthrough came about through meditation and confessing that word. We don't see her going to anybody to ask for prayer. We just notice, you know, she heard the reports concerning Jesus. And so she begins to meditate and meditate. Meditation is another key for breakthrough. To position yourself for a miracle, you need to hear the word You need to meditate on that word. You need to speak it out of your mouth. You need to develop that mental picture that you see yourself completely healed, you know, receiving that breakthrough, and then you act on it. This is what she did. Not only did she just meditate and speak the word out of her mouth, but then she acted on what she saw. And immediately that, you know, she got her breakthrough and her miracle. And so because we're out of time, we'll continue tomorrow by God's grace. But these are some of the, you know, steps that you need to take to position yourself for a miracle and breakthrough. And God never fails. Always, if you do either one, you know, whether the ones with the widow woman or what she did, the woman with the issue of blood, you are guaranteed miracles in every area of your life. You're guaranteed that breakthrough, because we know that with the woman of, with the issue of blood, not only was the flow of blood, had it ceased from the source, but she, Jesus said, you've been made whole. Your faith has made you whole, you know? And so she not only was just restored to health, but now she was even restored financially, because when Jesus talks about wholeness, he's not just talking about part of, you know, the situation, like, oh, just your body, which means she was restored. Her money probably came back to her. Her health was restored, which means now no more money had to be spirited out of her life. And so, you know, these are some of the steps that we may miss when we are seeking for a miracle or a breakthrough from God. But I can guarantee you this works all the time. And so, you know, take time to follow through with whatever God is giving you, and you'll see that miracle. Well, I pray you are blessed today. And by God's grace, we'll speak again tomorrow morning. Be blessed. Bye-bye.